In that conversation, John says he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And so the expression comes from John the Baptist originally. And he's referring to those texts, many, 7, 8, 10 of the Old Testament, where there's a promise of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The end times, the high point of God's plan is the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And so that's what he's referring to. So when we have this grace of restoring a conscious faith, see, it's called the baptism in the Spirit in English. In French, it's called the effusion of the Spirit, and so forth. But the early Protestants, who were among the first to receive this grace, looked around for a word, and they came up with baptism in the Holy Spirit, referring to John's description of Jesus. Pope Benedict once said, the whole church must be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he went on to describe what that means. It means being aware of what we have been given in baptism and confirmation. It's a gift of awareness, of knowledge. And the present Pope has alluded to this grace too. It's the core grace for renewing the whole church. No doubt about it. And so we who have been graced with that blessing have to bring other people, help other people. Now, when it comes, especially in the early days when it came, there was exuberance and singing and dancing, and not a bad idea yet, you know. And people say, oh, well, that's, you know, some nuts or some Protestants or some. Well, that's over now. I mean, we see that this grace, as it spreads, look at the zeal for evangelization coming into the church. That's part of the baptism. If you don't know what you're talking about, if you're smart, you're not going to say very much. And if you don't know Jesus, if you don't grasp the plan of God and who Jesus really is and what he can do for us and where we're headed, if that's not some kind of experiential knowledge, how can you preach? What can you say? And that's what our present Pope is always talking about. He was part of the renewal since Argentina. Anyway, there is a remark here. It comes about two or three times in the first letter, you see. Who's the liar? The one who denies that Jesus is the Messiah. That's the liar. You see? Whoever denies the Father and the Son, that's the Antichrist. If you don't call Jesus Son, then you don't call God Father. He has no children. Okay. Anyone who denies the Son does not have the Father, because you don't honor him and recognize him for the eternal, infinite, ineffable source of everything in the Trinity. Without any, it's all simultaneous from the beginning. It isn't there was a Father and then he degenerated his Son and then they generated us. No. But that's the best we can do with our language. And, as you know, Jesus spoke this way about his Father. And so we know that that's the right way to speak of that relationship. Even though it's eternal, ineffable, there's no before and after. And together in that relationship, there is another eternal relationship, the Holy Spirit. In theology, people speak of them as subsisting relations. Well, we won't get into that now. But there is something about that I want to speak about for just a moment. As for you, the anointing that you received from him remains in you, so that you do not need anyone to teach you. But his anointing teaches you about everything that is true and not false, just as it taught you, remain in him. What is this anointing? It's here and it comes sporadically in the letter. It's the action of the Holy Spirit making the realities that have been preached to us and which we have accepted in some degree real. See, and that's why he says, you don't need anybody else to teach you. The Holy Spirit is teaching you and giving you living knowledge of the Father and the Son and himself. And that's the anointing. The word comes several times in the early part of the letter. So you have the anointing. You know the Father. You see? And if you know the Father, then you know the Son. And if you don't, pray for it today. Pray to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Pray. It starts with a lot of excitement sometimes, and people, especially Catholics, get nervous with that. But, the first time this grace came to people, the discovery, it's all real. It's true. And it's experientiable. That's very heady wine. And then to say, let's pray over Joe, who just broke his leg, and pray and the leg get healed, right? Clunk in front of them. And that's very exciting, isn't it? So did they get too excited? Not when you think we're talking about God. How can you be too excited about God? But the point is, you see, that it's this grace, see, is a living experiential knowledge of the Father. That's the heart of the grace. And from that reality flows the ability to yield to the endowments, the graces, the gifts, healing, prophecy, administration is a gift. You know, in that prayer, we go all through those gifts, right? Give us. Because church life is supernatural life. It's not just who's going to be the next bishop and all that sort of stuff. Church life is a supernatural life. It's the life of the Trinity. And that's why he says here, you see, as for you, the anointing that you received from him remains in you. Or let it remain in you. So that you do not need anyone to teach you. Well, we need people to teach us how to drive. But teach you about the reality and majesty of Jesus Christ, that you have to learn from the Holy Spirit. It's the only way you can learn it. This good teaching and it helps your mind and disposes you. But to know it is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Period. Remember the first thing our present Pope did when he came out onto the balcony? What was the first thing he did? Pray over me. And he bowed over. Because that's what he learned from the Holy Spirit. So that's what, see, so it's an anointing. That is, it's the chrisma. You see, it's the, your inner being is anointed, and you know. And people say, well, I want that. If you want that, ask for it. If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more would your Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit if you ask for it? or for us, you know, ask for him. So this is a beautiful reading. The anointing is learning a living knowledge. It's the Word of God abiding in you in a way that produces knowledge, direction, strength. It's real. And it's always there. Some of the bells and whistles can disappear, but not the grace, unless we're unfaithful. And so, the best practice of fidelity is to have a daily prayer life. I've told you about this before, you know, that Honi, the circle drawer. How many people know about Honi, the circle drawer? Lots of people. I'm going to tell you the story again anyway. Honi was a very holy man, a rabbi. And they had no rain. If you've ever lived in Arizona or something, you know what this is like. No rain. And this is a whole country. If it doesn't rain in the fall and in the spring, there's no crops. It's that simple. Now, of course, the Israelis have started to siphon off the stuff from the Jordan and irrigate. So they said, Honi, pray. We need rain. So Honi prayed. Nothing happened. He prayed and prayed and nothing happened. Finally, he drew a circle. He stood in the middle of it. And he said, Lord of the universe, I'm not moving out of this circle until you give us rain. And boom, it all came down. But we have to pray like that. I'm not leaving this prayer time until you instruct me, convert me, do something for me. It's not just I got my time in and I thought some pious thoughts and now I can go to work. That's not prayer. It's contact with God. Right? And that's what the Lord promised us. And so, in a culture so totally devoid of any real acknowledgement of God, and in a church which had gotten kind of multiple sclerosis, the Lord poured out this grace to enlighten us, to enliven us, and to help us preach. Tell everybody. Now, everybody has to do it his own way. If you're not a, you know, you want to do it in a cool way, you can do it in a cool way, provided something happens. You can be as cool as you want, but if nothing happens, that's not very cool. So this is quite a beautiful, this, you have the anointing. Nobody can teach you. We can teach each other tons of things, but a living knowledge of Jesus Christ, nobody can give that but the Holy Spirit.